Welcome to the fourth teaching of the Medicine Wheel. So glad you're there. Looks like we have at least one new person in the room with us tonight. Can I give you a minute to introduce yourselves? I'd love for you to do that. Eric and...
Yeah, Loretta, my mom.
Yeah, I'm Richard's sister.
Hello.
I just took a bath. So I just
you look my beautiful. Qué bonita. Okay. Well, we are, like I said, on our fourth teaching of the Medicine Wheel on the fourth day of February. So I would say a Coke San Locket of our Medicine Wheel teachings. And we're joined again for a time of preserving, learning, and sharing Native heritage for many, many generations to come. Our mission, as always, with this hour is to preserve stories and traditions of the Medicine Wheel teachings as shared by Grandfather Roy Wilson. And we have obviously transitioned from Native stories, of which we did and recorded a lot for future generations. And we transitioned to a journey to the Medicine Wheel. And we are putting extensive teaching into a compact time frame. So this is because of our new way of communicating, it's all experimental. It's wonderful, because we can bring in people, obviously, in the room from far, far away. That just makes my heart glow. Distance is not an issue for us. So with that, I'm going to take a minute and just look around the room. Make sure that everybody is here. Oh, wow, what a nice group. Okay, an important segment of this preservation effort is our lesson in Chinook Wawa, hosted by Rainbow and Marsha. And the past few weeks, we have been doing review. And for me personally, that has been just a joy to kind of get a gauge where I'm at, what I've learned. And I'm feeling pretty solid. Yay. So join me. Go ahead.
Oh, I think that's fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to remind folks that if you're just listening, if you're in listening mode, to be sure and mute your mic so the screen doesn't jump back and forth. And with that, join me again as we are gifted by our master storyteller, Grandfather Roy Wilson. Klahauya, Grandfather, it's so good to see you again.
Good, wonderful Zoom family, Medicine Wheel family. Before I start my teachings on the wheel tonight, a couple of announcements. The first one, and I'm just really celebrating tonight, you'll notice this paper that I'm holding. This was the work to receive this is 100% attributed to the great help of Tom. For this is from a certificate signed by the Washington State Secretary of State awarding to Bear Raven Incorporation. We are now a corporate body of the state of Washington. Many thanks to Tom and all the work he did to get this for us. The next announcement is that the message I gave the last time, the third Sunday of this last month, and on Zoom for Satrana Unity, my interfaith journey, that book went to press on Monday of this week. And so in a few weeks, we should have copies for you. My interfaith journey, my events that I had with the Buddhist monk, a Muslim spiritual leader, a Hindu spiritual leader, and other events, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So much for announcements. Let's get to the Medicine Wheel. Tonight, as we look back the last 3 weeks, we had the first, second, and third moons of the north. Tonight we begin with the first moon of the east. This is for those for the dates of March 21st through April 19th. That's the time when our trees will start budding out again, and so the Indians call this the budding trees moon. Very fitting. And the animal totem is the red-tailed hawk. The plant totem is the dandelion. And the mineral totem is the fire opal. How many here, can I see your hands that you were born during these dates, and this is your birth totem? Any of you? I don't see it. But remember, I am one. I am the wheel,
and the wheel is me.
Thank you. You are
the wheel.
The wheel is us.
You okay? And the wheel is you. Very good. Very good. So, well, these teachings that I give to you tonight are part of all of us. It's just that those who were born during that time of March 21st through April 19th, these powers form more naturally through them than through the rest of us. When I'm giving these teachings, you may feel that you're very weak in this, and you'll hear me repeating this over and over again. You keep thinking I'm like a broken record. But one of the things that I have learned as a teacher is that repeat is great for memory. The only way we really memorize something is through repetition. And so I keep saying, if you feel weakness, it's because you were probably entered the wheel of life on the opposite side of the wheel from Red-Tailed Hawk. And consequently, you need to work on it. As I've said before, we learn to do by doing. So let us take a look at the medicine powers of Red-Tailed Hawk, Dandelion, and Fire Opal. Red-Tailed Hawk soars high and for long periods of time, and is really quite attractive to watch in Red-Tailed Hawk's acrobatics, especially at the time of mating. Red-Tailed Hawk, or Hawk, we'll just say Hawk. Hawk has fantastic sight, vision qualities. Hawk can be way up there high. The only bird that flies higher is eagle. Many tribes refer to hawk as the little eagle. From way up there, hawk's eyesight is so keen that a hawk can see the smallest little rodent far, far, far down below in the grasses. So one of the qualities of hawk and hawk people is the ability for keenness of vision. Not only physically vision, but spiritual insights, intellectual insights, philosophical insights, economical insights, insights into life in its fullness. The hawk also, its favorite meat. Oh, we don't have its favorite meat on this side of the Cascades, but we have many hawks here and there's plenty of food for them. But you go on the other side of the Cascades, you find hawk's favorite meat, rattlesnake. Oh, hawk loves rattlesnake meat. Hawk will slip in from behind rattlesnake and pop its head right off. And what does it say about hawk people? Hawk people, they go after the rattlesnake people of this world. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to pop their head off physically. They're going to go after the rattlesnake that's in that person. Consequently, hawk people make great attorneys. They make great law enforcement officers. They make great judges. They go after the rattlesnake people of this world. They make good preachers. For the preachers that are going after rattlesnake, they're going after the sins in people. Now, maybe I need to say a little bit about that word sin, because some of you cringe at it and me using that word sin. But you may look at this as considered to be a church word, a religious word, sin. It's aboriginal nature. Originally, it had nothing to do with religion. It had nothing to do with spirituality. It belonged to the world of the archer. And the archer would be in a contest with other archers, and they'd have a target. And they maybe, that's to say, they'd each have to shoot 10 arrows at the target. And then their score from the rings up to the outer rings up to the bullseye had different points. And they'd score their points against each other. But every arrow that missed the target, they called that a sin. So it may have had 7 points and 3 sins. What sin actually is, when Jesus used the word sin, he's saying, you missed the target. And I am confident, I know, absolutely know, that there's not a single one of us, including myself, that can say, I've never missed the target. Oh, we've all had times we missed the target. Those were sins. And so when we come back to the teachings of the rat hawk wanting to pop the head off the rattlesnake, then we're not necessarily just looking at popping the head off of other people and their injustices. We do some self-observation within our own lives. We know when we blew it and missed the mark. Oh, now it's my job to go after that flight where I keep missing that mark. I missed the target in life. I'm going after the rattlesnake within me so that I can be a better person. Rattlesnake people go after injustices. You'll find if you're a rattlesnake person or a hawk person, I should say, not a rattlesnake, you're a hawk person. If you see an injustice, you're going to go after that injustice. You're going to fight it. You cannot stand to see an injustice and not do something about it. It reminds me about, 30, 40 years ago, one time I picked up my morning newspaper, and there was a story about two men that were abusing a woman, and a number of men walked by, and they never did anything to stop the injustice. A woman stepped forward, and she went after them. Later, these men that had walked by were asked, why? Why didn't you do something to save that woman, to protect her? And basically, their answers were, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to have to be going to call to court and lose time on my job to be a witness to what I saw. But the woman was a hawk person, and she could not stand to see an injustice. A hawk person will go after the rattlesnakes of this world. Well, as we look at the plant totem, dandelion. Dandelion pops up everywhere, no matter where you go. The dandelions are in your lawn, out in the field. They grow all over the world. And they have a little yellow flower, and then it turns into a fuzzball and blows away. Dandelion has great medicine powers. Every part of the dandelion is edible. As far as the root part is the medicinal part, but the leaves are great in salads. If you take them, one of use them in a salad when they're fresh. Use them when they are young and tender. If you wait until they get old, they're tough, strong, and bitter. But take the young, tender leaves of the dandelion, and they're great in the salad. Or you may want to cook them like you boil and cook spinach. if you're going to cook your dandelion leaves, you want to soak them in salt water for a half hour before you cook them. And then they can be delicious. But the medicinal herb, if you're going to be wanting to create your own pharmacy in your home and you want to end dandelion, you wait until the flower, red, yellow flower, before it goes to the fuzzball, just as it's getting ready to go, dig up the entire plant, take the root and dry it. And after it's dried, grind it into a powder. And then you can create a great herbal drink as a substitute for coffee. Where in coffee, you're getting caffeine, which really isn't that good for you. But when the herbal power of the dandelion root, before I tell you what that is, let me ask you, how many of you remember when you were a child or a youth and mama would say to you, now be sure and eat your carrots. They're good for your eyes. Oh, how many remember that? Oh, I'm sure most all of you do. Yes. Well, as far as being good for your eyes, and we're looking back now when we talked about Hawk and its powers of insight, sight, vision power. Dandelion tea has 7 times as much vitamin A as a carrot, along with vitamin B, C, and G, and iron and phosphorus. It's a very healthy drink for you. Oh, dandelion. When we look at fire opal is considered very, very precious in some countries. In Rome, it was recognized as a noble stone. In France, it was actually in the crown jewels of the crowns of the kings of France. In Vienna, it's in the imperial cabinet of Vienna. In most English-speaking countries, it's considered unlucky, but here in the Pacific Northwest, it's considered as a very sacred, special stone. Fire opal is usually found in volcanic cavities and in hot places. Hot places? Oh, does that bring us back to the rattlesnake and fighting the injustice? The rattle in the hot places. It all goes together. Hawk's vision, there it is in the dandelion. Hawk's after the rattlesnake, and there it is in the hot places and all. But one of the problems with fire opal, it fractures easily. So if you're going to go use your hawk powers or your dandelion powers for insight and all, you have to also then call on your cougar powers to keep you in balance, to keep you from fracturing and getting angry and upset and blowing your top, because that doesn't win the battle. So now you see where you have to be the wheel, and you're not just using the powers of one like Hawk or Dandelion. You're calling on powers from a different moon to team up with it. Cougar, who climbs high, but is more comfortable on the ground, is well-grounded and well-balanced. Now, these are some of the powers of Hawk, Dandelion, and Fire Opal. Oh, Fire Opal, some tribes find that Fire Opal loses its fire if it's attributed to water, whereas other times Fire Opal loses its fire power, if it's not given to water. And so be prepared for different influences upon your life as you employ your fire opal power. Now it's time for open forum, questions, comments. Show your hand and Penny will recognize you and call on you. Either a question or a comment on the Hawk, the fire opal or the dandelion.
Looks like Laura has a question for you, grandfather.
No good. Let's have it, Rainbow.
Can you hear me or am I muted?
You're coming through.
Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. I wanted to mention something about the medicine wheel. Just a second. And it's like I was really identifying with red-tailed hawk. In fact, whenever I drive down the road, 167, there's an awful lot of red-tailed hawks along that road. And it's just like they call out to me. I mean, it's just like, it's just like, here I am, you know. And I'm very, very strong on justice. And in fact, right now I am involved in a couple who I used to babysit for and you know, giving like character witness type testimony for the children. But so the red-tailed hawk is just like really identified with me. And when I went on my first two vision quests, I was with the Bear Tribe Medicine Society, which was around Spokane at that time, but it's not there anymore. And one of the things they would do is you could go to them and they would ask you a series of questions, and there would be four possible answers to every question. And then when you were done, one of them had to do with physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And we travel around the wheel, you know, it isn't like I'm born into Bear, but I don't always stay there. You know, you travel around the wheel, and each of your emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical bodies travel at different speeds around the wheel. And so when I did this, each of my four bodies was in a different quadrant of the wheel. And I just wanted to mention that because, like I said, I very, very much, of course, identify with that red-tailed hawk, even though that's not, you know, not my sign. But there is one of my bodies that identify with that. And so when you look at it and say, well, you know, I'm a red-tailed hawk, why do I really feel like a raven? You know, it's because you're traveling around the wheel and that's where you are on the wheel at that time. That's it.
Excellent. Very good. Good conversation, Laura.
Thank you. I have known you for many years now, and I have witnessed that quality within you over and over again and again, where you were always for justice. You're out to protect people, and that has been a beautiful part of your life. And so even though you were not born in that part of the wheel, you have gone to the point where you recognize that you are the entire wheel, and the entire wheel is you. I congratulate you on the way you have used your hawk powers. May the Creator open the windows of his great storehouse, in heaven, and just pour out a blessing on you more than you can contain. You are very well at using your hawk powers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
I am not seeing any hands here. Do we have any last minute requests? Danny does. Go ahead, Danny.
Yes.
I definitely am going to try to. I have a lot of dandelions on my property, and I buy dandelion drink from the health food store, and I'm really going to try digging it up, like you said, when it just is going to go to the poof, and just dig up the whole root and dry it. And do you I might want more instructions, but I'm going to try it this year to use dandelions that I have everywhere.
You call me Danny. I'd like to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I can grow really good.
One of the things
that well,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I have a lot of herbal books with an awful lot of dandelion information and different things that you can make with dandelion. So we'll have to talk about that. And then the other thing is make sure your dandelions are not near traffic. They're not, you know, they're not picking up all the pollutants in the air. There's no weed killers around them. You're not using any chemicals on your lawn to kill things, and the dandelions are soaking that up because, like you said, the root is the most potent part. And certainly, you know, you don't want to be ingesting toxins.
Well, right. Danny is in paradise for that healthy dandelion environment. She's got a beautiful place up there that I'm sure can raise lots of nice dandelions.
I want to thank you for that wonderful advice that you have given. And I might say, if some of you are near a lot of traffic and you're concerned about the toxins and the dandelions on your property, this spring, when everything comes out and starts growing again, you just come to my place. I'm a long way from traffic at the end of the road, and I have thousands of dandelions. You can just come and dig up all the dandelions you want for your own pharmacy. That with your instructions and your information was very valuable and very, very good. Thank you, Mossy, Mossy, Mossy.
Mossy, Mossy. And it sounds like we need to start a festival where we all gather at one place. We'll gather at your place, Danny, and we'll harvest and make tea. So,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah,
I would love wonderful. That.
We're going to work on that.
Yeah.
So if I, that,
I also,
no, go ahead.
I'd like to mention one more thing.
You bet. What is it?
Okay. It does my heart. It hurts my heart when I watch people out along the road picking blackberries. Oh, please, please do not eat blackberries that are by the roads, because they also pick up all of the stuff from the cars, you know, the emissions. And so, you know, blackberries are wonderful, but you have to get back from roads.
Excellent.
But you see people every year out there, you know, along the freeway picking blackberries.
Mm-hmm. Very good advice to share. That is absolutely true. I'm sure Richard and Donna are in a kind of a blackberry haven up where they are too. So, anyone else have anything to share before we move on?
Penny, I have a question.
Excellent. Go ahead, Marcia.
Okay. So, Roy, this is a question for you. The other day, I was driving on the freeway in Gig Harbor, and I was aware that a large brown bird went across in front of me. And I figure maybe it was an owl. I'm not sure, but just by the color and the size. Is there symbolism in that?
A symbol of the owl?
Yeah, if an owl flew in front of me, is that symbolic?
A symbol of the owl flying in front of your car, and then you want to know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. That's a real good question. First of all, let us recognize that the owl is a bird of the night. It flies in the nighttime, not normally in the daytime. That brings special medicine power when it flies in front of your car in the daytime. Many tribes refer to the owl as the night eagle. But what is interesting here is that some tribes look at the night eagle in a very different way from others, and yet both views are taken from it being a night bird. Nighttime is a dark time of life. Death is in your family and a loved one. That's a dark time in your life. And so there are tribes that believe that if an owl flies in front of your car in the middle of the afternoon or in the daylight, that means that someone very close to you is about to die. And that's a time for mourning. I even have books in my Indian library that tell stories of that nature from tribes that believe that way. There are other tribes, though, that look at it in a very different and positive way. For the dark time of life is a time when you're faced with tremendous heavy decisions that you have to make. Maybe you've been working on a job hoping to retire with retirement benefits after 20 years of service, and now you've given 18 years in service and that company is going out of business and you're losing everything. And you think, oh, what's going to happen to my life? And you call on the spirit of the owl who flies in the darkness of the night and reveals to you the source of your healing and source of your power and direction. This is the Akalits tribal position. Northwest Coast, I put it that way. The Northwest Coast tribal Indians would see the owl, the spirit of the owl, as leading you to this, understanding or seeing of the success in the mysteries of life, and will reveal them to you. If you're following the Christian tradition, this reminds me of a scripture that says, the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God and reveals them unto us. Oh, in the Indian would say, that's owl medicine power. And so if you had that owl flying in front of your car the other day, Marcia, it's very possible that you are now facing a difficult decision you have to make, or if not, maybe in the very near future you will be. And when that happens, call on the medicine, owl medicine powers. And I know that you are a Christian, so you can call on the third the person of the Trinity or the Spirit of God, which is the owl medicine power in the Indian world. It's all the same thing. And you will find yourself receiving a dream at night, or maybe a vision, or maybe it's just somebody that happens to be talking to you. I know you talk to Rainbow quite often, and all of a sudden she may drop a little word, and all of a sudden it hits the button for you, and you'll be like, that's the answer. That's the owl medicine power coming to your aid. So look at it the way we do as a Akalits Indian, and look for a great new vision to come to help you whenever that happens, that you run into the time where you have to make a great decision.
Thank you for that. Oh, that's really good. Thank you very much. I like hearing that. Yeah. It's good.
Great discussion, everyone. That was lots and lots of fun. So I think it's time that we go off to Chinook Wawa, our language lesson taught by Rainbow and Marcia. Thank you, Grandfather.
Oh.
So go ahead and take it away, Marcia and Laura, and we will see what kind of a lesson you have in store for us tonight.
Well, I have been busy, 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 busy. And I just walked in the door when I got on tonight. So I have done nothing, and I have not talked to Marcia, and Marcia has been doing a wonderful job, and we have been doing great reviewing, and so, you know, I'm going to let Marcia carry on tonight. Hopefully she has is willing to do that, because like I said, I have nothing prepared. One thing I do want to do, I want to make up a list of all different words that pertain to the medicine wheel and provide that to everyone, because right now we are studying the medicine wheel, And so I'm going to be getting together with grandfather on that too, of, you know, because some words are in the medicine wheel and some words aren't. And so, you know, I'm thinking of the way I want to do that, because I want to group it according to moon. But I'm going to talk to grandfather about, so that'll be my next project, is providing us with words that pertain to the medicine wheel.
Awesome. I like that.
Okay, Marcia?
All right. Well, since Penny's especially voiced how much she's been enjoying the review, I didn't plan anything other than that tonight. But
cool.
I do want to know who's going to participate, because this, we do it in a round robin way where I would start by giving a jargon word and ask a person to define it, and they would do that, and we would discuss the word if there's discussion to be held, and then that person would choose another and give them a word to do the same thing. So like Eric, and who else is new tonight? Eric's new tonight. So
is Irene ready?
Irene, did you get the vocabulary, or did you, or we can post it online too. Tom did that last time, which was good.
Yes, I have the list.
Okay.
And the book. Thank you.
Good. Wow, you're just doing super. So Erica, did you want to participate in this? It's the resource would be on the screen. So it wouldn't be that you'd have to come out of your head with something.
And what about Richard and Donna? Are they ready to?
And Richard and Donna. Okay. Everybody can unmute themselves for this. So we need to kind of know who wants to play the game, so to speak, and if there's anybody that doesn't feel comfortable with it or just wants to sit in and listen for this first time through.
Okay. Looks like everybody's up for the game.
All right. So cool. Everybody needs to unmute then.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've been having us go through our vocabulary list, which is how many pages? It's just 4 pages, alphabetical, but it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be restricted to alphabetical. That just makes it easy so that people can find their words quickly if they need to. So I'm going to start by asking Judy an A word. Judy, what does oughts mean?
Would you repeat that, please?
Oughts in the A's, oughts.
Oughts. Yes, that means sister, younger than speaker.
Okay. Do you have a younger sister?
I do not.
You don't? Okay. All right. Yeah, oughts, younger sister than yourself. Okay. So, Judy, you asked somebody a word.
So, great. And there's the color blue, but I'm just going to skip that.
Well, now Grace is just another word for the host, so we don't really have somebody named Grace.
That lady is there pretend. Is Eric. Okay. Okay. Can you, let's see, can you give me a C word? Like, what is chi? Chi. She's unmuted.
She is muted. I think they're busy trying to unmute. Why don't you go ahead and ask Jeanette or Larry while she works
Jeanette,
on that.
Can you give me the definition of chi?
Your volume's pretty low, Jeanette.
Yeah. Hello. Can I say something? Hello.
Yeah, there's Eric. Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure, but I think chi, does that mean the universal energy that's in the air and everything? Is that it?
No,
that's not in jargon. Chi means universal energy, but not in this language. So we're doing the Chinook jargon language right here. And
good answer, though.
It is great. Yeah, I like it. Is Tom posting? I don't see it. So is Tom posting the vocabulary?
I don't see that.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get it up for you.
Okay.
If you open up your chat window, just click on the link.
Oh, okay.
Tom, you're so good. Thank you.
All right. So people that don't have this already, go into the chat.
Okay. Would anyone like me to screen share this? Would that be helpful?
I think it'd be fine.
All right, I will do that. And then we will take off here.
Gabby, what is Kapo?
Who did you ask, Jeanette?
Kapo.
Danny.
Oh, okay.
I had to look that one up. Older brother or sister than speaker. Oh, so that's good for brother or sister.
Is so that with a K or a C?
K.
Oh, okay. Well,
how come aux isn't for a brother or sister? I wonder.
Good question. Marcia, can you answer that?
There's a different word for younger brother. I'm not thinking what it is right now.
I remember.
It's Al.
Oh, okay.
Because that was a funny joke. Who said that reminded him of what a younger brother would make you feel?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. I've lost everybody on the screen.
The problem with screen sharing is that we can't see the faces of who's here. So.
Oh, you can't?
No. Oh, so we better not do that.
It's where how you have your screen set up, and we'll work on that.
Okay.
So let's stop here. And go back to our book. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Irene, do you want to unmute? There we go.
Sure.
Here's a word that starts with I. Ictas.
Ictas?
Yes.
Ictas.
Okay. Ictas. Oh,
Ictas.
Ictus.
Things, goods, clothes, all things of a personal nature.
I'd say it's stuff. Just stuff.
No.
Nike stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see, who else has
Larry's kind of slacking back there. We need to call on him.
Okay. Hey, Larry. let's see here. Where was it? It's a K word, clonas.
Clonas.
Clonas. Clonas, I'll answer, right? Maybe I'll answer.
Clonas, maybe.
Clonas, maybe, or perhaps. Judy. Well, Muckamuck.
And that starts with what letter?
Muckamuck.
Is that a K?
M.
M. Judy, you know this one, Muckamuck.
Oh, Muckamuck.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We do it at your house.
We do. Yes, we eat and we drink at my house. Yes, Muckamuck. And there's a sign language.
Oh, yeah.
To put it in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Muckamuck.
I have a kind of a general question, Marcia, before we move on.
Sure.
If you're asking a question, is the way people know it's a question by the influx of the way you say it? So if I want to say, for instance, you're going to eat or you eat, would it be,
oh,
how would people know it's a question and not a statement?
Well, so are you like saying, do you want to eat?
Yeah.
Is that right. What you mean? So,
yeah.
So, Mika tikeg muckamuck.
So, you
want to eat?
You yeah, want so it's to
the
eat.
Inflection.
The inflection. Yeah. Gotcha. Very yeah, good. Thank uh-huh. you for answering uh-huh. that.
And of course, you know, sometimes there's words that are question words like what. If you say what at the start of a sentence, you're obviously asking a question.
Okay. So I think I interrupted you, Judy. Were you going to call on someone?
Sure. I will call on Irene. I have a P word. It's polakli. Polakli.
Oh. Polakli. Polakli. A night. A night like the owl.
Like the owl. Yes.
Let's see here. Well, is it Danny?
Yeah.
Okay, because on the windows, Danon.
Oh, you pronounced it. That's good too.
Oh, okay. Cumtux. Oh, yes.
No, that's why I should have jargon people.
Cumtux. It's so familiar, but I have to look it up because I haven't been studying every day. I haven't done enough cum tucks to know knowledge, wisdom, and understand. Could that also mean like learn?
Well, you could gain. You could gain knowledge, so you could say iskum cumtux. Iskum means to get.
Yeah.
So iskum cumtux could be okay. Studying or learning.
Okay.
So I wanted to say something here. The word muckamuck that Judy did, and this one cumtux. So just notice that it can mean the verb like to learn, to eat, to understand, or the food itself. Or the knowledge itself. So again, the whole theme that we use all the time of these words cover a whole big concept, and it's the context that they're in, whether you're using the verb or the item that verb is kind of the subject of. So we never, like we wanted to say, I want to eat. We never use the word to. You know, the word in another context there's as a word for two, but we never use it. We never make that part of the verb into a word. You get what I mean? We never say to eat. We just muckamuck is eat. To know is cumtux, or the knowledge itself is cumtux. So don't, when we get to some times where we're making whole sentences, don't ever think that you have to literally translate that word to that you use in English into a jargon word, because that's not the way it's done. Okay, lesson. Go ahead, Danny.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
You need to hit Laura up for some good teaching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's the page I'm looking for. Okay, Laura. Try to find a hard one for you. I don't think there is one. I know this is one of your favorite words, though. Haloimi.
That is something that is strange or different. It's not like you. And it's really funny because that was the word I was going to choose to give to somebody.
Oh.
And haloimi could be a stranger. It's somebody that... Or it's just something that is different. It doesn't have to be a person. It could be an idea. You know, it's foreign to you in some way. It's haloimi.
Can I ask a question about that word?
Sure.
Sure.
I was trying to think of how to say I feel strange. You know, you feel strange. So I guess that would be a question about feel. And I was thinking of saying sick tum tum huloimi.
I don't think you even need to say the sick part.
Okay.
No, not the sick part.
Tum tum huloimi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because tum tum is for feel.
Okay.
And then if it was actually sick, you would say sick. You wouldn't say the huloimi. You'd say nike tum tum sick.
Yeah, I guess I looked it up, but I didn't see, you know, I didn't see the variant things.
The distinction.
Yeah. Because there was feel with your hands and feel with your heart. What said sick tum tum. Oh, sorry, my phone.
Well, that would be like sadness. Sick tum tum. I would think of
and that
more
is
like sadness.
That is how I should have said. That's how I was feeling.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm talking too much.
No. This is how we remember. Jewel. This In is how we make the words class. Meaningful to us, so we can remember them by attaching meaning to them.
Right.
So it's good.
Okay.
Okay, Penny, this is a C word, cultus.
Oh, useless, worthless, cultus. And bad. Useless, worthless, and bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good word.
Oh, it's a good word.
You just don't want to be identified with it. That's
right.
All.
Useless. Okay, Dorothy.
Well, I want to say something about cultus. Down in the Mount Adams area, where I'm from, there's a cultus lake. And I don't know, Irene, since you were with the Forest Service, I don't know the history of the name of cultus lake, but I always thought it could just mean that there were no fish in that lake. So it's not like it had poison water. I mean, it could have, but it could be as simple as it just didn't support any fish. I don't know. Irene, do you have an opinion? Do you know anything about Cultus Lake?
No, I don't know the background on the name, but it's a very popular place. And so it's not considered very bad or useless. A lot of people love it.
And it could be that in old Indian times, maybe they saw a bad spirit there. Mm. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we're broadening mm-hmm. our minds out to all kinds of things mm-hmm. that could be possibilities. Okay, that's that. Go ahead, Penny.
Well, let's do three more and then we will wrap it up.
Oh my gosh, the time goes so fast when we do this.
You know, I have to say before we do wrap it up that these little side roads that we take during these lessons are, to me, as valuable as the lesson itself. And I certainly enjoy it. And I thank you, Judy, Danny, everybody that has taken us on little roads tonight. So I will go ahead and do the word Hayek. And I will ask that of Marcia.
Hayek means fast or quick. And so I'll just tell the story I always tell about that one is there's a ski area at Snoqualmie named Hayek. Mm-hmm. And that means in my mind that people are going down the hill really fast on their skis. Yeah. So that's what Hayek means to me. Okay, let me ask Jeanette Ekanum. Ekanum.
Earth and I.
E. E. Ekanum.
Story, tale, or legend.
Mm-hmm. And you've heard us use that. Where do we use that in this group very often in the past? Or do you remember?
I don't know if they were with us when we were doing the conversations. Well yes, they were.
They did a conversation. Huh. So
how do we end
the story? What do we say at the end of a story, somebody?
Ooh, econum something. Uh-huh. I don't remember the something.
Starts with a K.
Cope it,
yep. End Stop of story.
That's teamwork. Yeah.
Ekanum cope it or cope it ekanum, either one. And Roy would, and I don't know the phrase for it, but Roy would tell you that in the old Indian days, storytellers in the winter, like we have now, would often tell stories that went for several days. So mm-hmm. each evening they would tie the story up, like tying the canoe up for the night till the next day. And the story would be continued the next day. They would untie the canum and tell some more story. So that's why you kind of indicate, well, whether this is a continuing story or that's it, it's over.
And that, Marcia, is a beautiful segue into the end of our session. We are going to tie up this storytelling hour. So thank you. Thank you so much for a fun time. I want to thank all of you watching, all of you that will watch in the future. Thank you for being a part of our storytelling hour. And thank you to Tom for tech support. And a reminder, as always, that each lesson is preserved and can be viewed on the Unity website. So if you feel the need to go back and visit old lessons, old stories, anything we've done in the past, you can find it there. And it'll be preserved there for our children, our grandchildren, and so on and so on. Again, klahauya, and thank you.
Good night.
Klahauya.
Good night. Osh Pawkli. See you next week.